evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Only one awake. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
There you go. God is worthy to be praised.
Amen. All the time.
I was reading in Psalm 67 this morning. If you want to turn there. And it would be just like me, I don't even have my Bible in front of me because I'm so used to looking up on the computer. But Psalm 67 is such a powerful psalm, especially at verse 1. And Melissa, would you do us the honor? Are you okay reading out verse 1 for us?
Verse 1 of Psalm
67. 67. Psalm 67. Yeah. This is a call, a universal call for God to be merciful to mankind. And not only to be merciful, but to bless us by allowing his face to shine upon us. When God's face is shining upon you and I, that means God's favor is with us. And how did we see the face of God shining upon us in a very up close and personal way? Through his son Jesus. Jesus brought the face of God to earth. You know, instead of being abstract, if people like to think God is, Israel was able to match a face with God. Isn't that wonderful? In verse 2, he says, what did he say in verse 2? The next verse is,
that your way may be known on the earth.
That your way may be known on the earth. This, once again, is a universal call for the nations to know God. What's the rest of it?
Your salvation among all nations.
Your salvation among all nations. And that's incredible, because that's why Lord Jesus came, to make God's way known to all the earth and his salvation to all the nations. That's why Jesus Christ came. That's why that night when Nicodemus was talking to him, he said, Lord Jesus says to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his
only son.
Yeah. And you all know it. Is that not a cry to the nations to come and love God up close and personal by loving his son Jesus? So as I was reading down through the psalm this morning, I'm going, wow, look at God. And so let me encourage you, when you get a moment, because this is one of those short periods of time that I had this morning. I was in transit all day long today. Right, Shelly? I've been to Gainesville twice. And sometimes you don't have a lot of time, Melissa, to really read a lot of scripture. But Psalm 67 was just that unhung time period where you go, wow, Lord, look at that. Just what I needed. And so we have to be mindful that God is awesome. And the very first verse of that Psalms, Winter, Psalm 67, is actually, Big Brother, you said that during Clinton's ordination. It's called the Aaronic Prayer. Yes, sir. You did the benediction. That's the first part of it. And that's such a beautiful, beautiful prayer when God told Moses to have Aaron bless Israel. And now the psalmist is saying, bless God. And so just allow the Holy Spirit to take the power of God's word, Jesus Christ, in the Psalms, and see what God is doing. A cry to the world, a cry to the nations to serve God, to honor God, and to bless God. And we know what? God blesses us. Okay? Sunday, the sirens that we heard, it's from a car pile, a three-car pileup, not far from our house. One lady was air-vac'd by helicopter. The other two people was transported by ambulance. Pretty horrific accident. The lady lost her battle and succumbed to it. And there's some other young men that was involved in a pretty bad accident a few days ago. And one of the young men, still in shock trauma. I spoke with his grandmother last night, and I called his dad, and his dad was there, and I spoke with the young man. God is doing amazing work with him, Lord Jesus is. But one of the other young men, they had to transport him to Atlanta because he's paralyzed. I think the hospital in Atlanta is Shepherd's Hospital that specializes in people that's paralyzed.
Right in Florida, they do the Memorial.
And so God is so awesome in all of his ways. He's incredible how he spares life. And yet, at the same token, life go on. And I thank God for that. And so, she's standing outside. We don't know why Father does that, but just like Melissa, we could be in a room of 5,000 people and the gospel's preached and the Holy Spirit will come in and he will save this one and go over that one. Save this one and go over that one. Number one, God knows who's going to be saved. And he knows the ones that's going to hell. And I believe the Holy Spirit is not going to waste his efforts on people who are not going to be saved. But he'll allow them to hear the gospel so they can say on that day, God, I didn't know. And he's going to say, oh, but you did. And here's the recording of your life. You did hear the gospel. Okay. Go ahead, Shelley, with your request.
Buzz.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. A gentleman came in today and made a donation to the ministry, but yeah, became disoriented, and probably was disoriented when he came in. And when I called here and find out that what had took place, contacted his daughter-in-law, and let me show you how God works. She went looking for him and found his truck side of the road. And he was in need of assistance. And his sons came and arrived on the scene and now taking him to a hospital in Lake City, I think so, Lake Shore.
Yeah, probably because they live in Hawaii.
So anyway, we're going to be praying for him in a moment. But what I want us to do, and it appears that we're getting a little slow start today, but don't think that, because the Spirit is at work right now in ways that we don't even understand. And what as I was thinking last night for you all and this morning, is that God wants you to get to the level in him where you can actually see in the spirit world what God is doing. And I've been asking the Father, how is this possible that Moses can talk to you and you talk back to him, and others, Lord Jesus, talk to you and you talk back to them? And he assured me he'll do the same with you, only if you will come with a pure in heart. Blessed is the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Are you hearing that? That means come and allow the blood of Jesus to clean you and to renew your mind, renew your spirit. And when you come before the Father, you come in spirit and you come in truth. And God made a promise, and he, remember now, he cannot lie. And Melissa, you can write this down as a reference note, and you too, Winter, all of you, in Jeremiah 33:3. In fact, somebody turn there. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. This is just a prelude to prepare us for prayer right now. Jeremiah 33:3. Somebody read that out loud. Because the Holy Spirit wants to equip you. He wants to encourage your heart to come to Lord Jesus. And when you come with a heart of expectancy. Okay, you got it, sis? Go ahead.
Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know.
Wow, did you get that? Do you really think God would dishonor that? Or you think God is going to fulfill that?
He'll fulfill it.
Miss Marie, Jeremiah chapter 33.
Call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you.
You got it, Melissa?
He is not a man that you would lie.
Yeah. You got it, Melissa, Jeremiah 33? It's really simple, Jeremiah 33:3. Very, very powerful. God said, call unto me. What is call? Call is prayer. Go before the Lord in prayer. And he said, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things or unsearchable things.
Yes.
Okay, some translations said mighty, some says unsearchable. That you do not know. How do you think your pastor can teach the way he teaches and preaches? Because I call on to him, and guess what he does? He answers me, and he shows me these things, these great and mighty things are unsearchable things. Okay?
That make you say, wow.
Yeah. Go, whoa. I mean, and this coming Sunday, to kind of give you a prelude about this coming Sunday, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 4 this Sunday, and I don't know for how long, because it looks like the Spirit is going to move us right along, and we're going to see some things there about what God does that you probably haven't heard or seen before. And I tell you, I'm excited now. I don't want to let the cat out the bag. Okay? But the Lord is so good. Lord Jesus loves his children. Let me tell you, if you never understood a father's love, please understand the love of Jesus. It's a love that transcends every boundary, every ethnic, every economic, every social boundary that's out there. And he loves you with the father's love. Okay? And so, let's go before the Lord in prayer and then see what God does tonight in Jesus' name. Y'all ready for that? Father, we're told how unsearchable are your ways. That your ways are past finding out. But Lord Jesus, you told us that by the Spirit, that the Spirit knows the deep things of God. He knows the secret things, the hidden things of God. And he reveals them to us so that we would know what Father has in store for us who love him. And today, Lord, we know that you love us and we love you, Heavenly Father. And we come to you in Jesus' name. We come to magnify your name. We come to glorify your name. We come to exalt your name and to lift you up beyond measure, Lord. I'm just so excited to see young Melissa walk in, understanding, Father, that you have something for her here today. And Lord Jesus, you brought every one of us in here for the sole purpose of receiving your love. And Lord, we got something for you too. We're giving you our love because we do love you, Lord Jesus. And we love you, Heavenly Father. And we thank Holy Spirit for pouring your love into our hearts. And today, Lord, We just want to exalt your name. We want hell to know that we love you. And we want all the angels of heaven to know that we love you. And we're so glad that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And Lord Jesus, had it not been for you, none of us would be able to worship God at all, because our sins would have caused him to hide his faith from us, and our iniquity, yes, Lord, would cause him not to answer us at all. And so, Lord, we're so glad that through your death on the cross, by your own body, you open up a new way so that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And not only for help, Lord, but also for praise and for adoration and glorification of your holy name. And to tell the world that we're in love with Jesus. And Father, there's nothing greater than that. And Lord, we pray for the gentleman, Mr. Bush, when he came in, Lord, disoriented. And we know, Lord, that he loves you. And he was telling Shelley how, and Belinda, how he misses his wife and his son, who, Lord, died not so long ago, very, very close together. And we ask, Lord, not only that you heal his body, Father, in the name of Jesus, glory, hallelujah, but, Lord, that you heal his mind. Bring comfort and peace to his mind that surpasses understanding. And, Lord Jesus, in your word, you said that God by you will guard our minds. He will protect our hearts. And so, Lord, we're dependent on you to do this, not only for this gentleman, but for us as well. And we ask, Lord, that you be with Israel. Watch over Israel and allow your peace to abide in Jerusalem. Bring your salvation back to every Jew. And, Lord, we ask for a repentance in the land of Israel right now. In the name of Jesus, let your gospel go forth like a mighty rushing wind. And, Father, also in these United States, awaken your people, Lord. Awaken those who are in slumber. And, Father, and also quicken the spirit of those who need to be saved, the walking dead, Lord. And for some reason, Lord Jesus, Americans, especially those in the church, are fascinated with this thing called the walking dead. Lord, you told us that God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And we're asking now, Lord, turn their hearts to heaven. Turn their hearts to the one true God. Stop looking at the things of the evil one, but look at the things of the one who is life and life abundantly. And that's you, Lord Jesus. Lord, now by your spirit, open our minds to understand your word tonight and give us a heart, Lord, to receive that which the Holy Spirit has in store for us. Have your way now, Lord, as we study your word very, very carefully and very attentively. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You all was here Sunday when I got the call from my friend, Pastor DeVar from the Philippines. And I tell you, it really, really rocked my world in an amazing and exciting way when that brother in Christ said that the Filipino government called him and said, will you all please go into the public schools and teach and preach Jesus, for they need him. Yes! Give God some glory! The government, the Filipino government, asked for the gospel to be preached in the schools. Hallelujah. And Father, we're asking right now, send workers into that vineyard. For the labors are few, Lord, but the harvest is plentiful. And you are the Lord of the harvest, Lord Jesus. Send laborers and also send resources so that the laborers can get there, Lord, and sustain them while they're there. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Wow. I've been praying that God will open a door for me to go to the Philippines for a couple of weeks, because so I can be a part of that great harvest. Okay.
My boat has the same on their police cars in God with you.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
The monks too.
And you know, I'm not so sure if you all are aware, but the county, Gilchrist County commissioners, it was in the news, made a public declaration of faith and said Gilchrist County is a Christian county. And if you don't like it, you can leave. Okay. We are not changing.
Is that Libel?
No, Trenton.
Oh,
Okay. Trenton, I think Live Oak is a Suwanee County or Taylor County? Suwanee, okay. So, anyway, we're seeing the Holy Ghost on the move. He's on the move, okay? The enemy wants to camouflage things, the work of God, and only allow us to see the things that are horrific that's going on, right? But I told y'all, if you would just listen careful enough, you will hear the voice of God at work in the earth. You will see the work of the Spirit, and you will see Jesus conquering new territories. Only if we will ask the Lord to open our spiritual eyes and see where he's at work. When that brother told me that on the phone, I about screamed at the top of my lungs in here. I didn't want to scare Miss Vicky because she was going about her business. What? Praise God. And so if it's hot in here, Shelly, you can turn that down a little bit. All right. So tonight is a different type of teaching. Tonight we're going to do something at the request of Miss Vicky some months ago, matter of fact. And that is, how do we study the Bible? How do we actually get started and rightly divide the word of truth, as Paul told Timothy in his letter to Timothy? Well, looking at your sheets, the first thing is, Lord, what book am I studying? Is it Genesis? Is it Exodus? Is it Leviticus, or Numbers, or Deuteronomy? Is it Joshua, or Judges, or 1 and 2 Samuel? What is it, or Ruth, or Nehemiah, or Ezra? What am I studying, or Psalms, or Job? What is it? Proverbs, or Ecclesiastics? Or is it Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, according to Matthew, shall I say? That's where it should be written. Right. Or is it Mark, Luke, and John, or Acts, or Romans, or even Revelation, the one we just finished the preaching series through? What is it? Is it the prophetic books? Are the major prophets or minor prophets? What are we doing here? We're studying the life of the kings. In other words, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Kings. What is it that we're studying?
The word.
Okay. Yeah. And as we go through that, so for tonight's sake, I want you to write down 1 Corinthians. Okay. And do turn there in your Bible, by the way. So, okay. I want to read 1 Corinthians. Well, first of all, what does the title say to me? What does the title say to me? What do you mean, 1 Corinthians? Well, we know that Paul, the books there are letters. They're called epistles, right? Mm-hmm. Epistles are letters. Paul is writing a letter to a particular congregation. And the title of the book is usually named after the congregation in which he's writing to. In this case, it's the church in Corinth. So it's the church in Corinth. I've already did some of your homework for you. So the book title, 1 Corinthians. Shelley, let's go over to the Bible, please.
Yeah. Right, but, I don't know where the other one
went. No, you don't have to. I'm glad it closed out. Just click on it. Okay.
Oh.
All right, what I want you to do is minimize the second one. No, not that one. No, come back over. Right here. Click on that. There you go.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'm going to grab my punter.
Your punter?
Yeah, not punter. So what if I want to be country? People around the world can hear me being country for a moment. Now, big brother, if I ask you, Deacon, who is the author of this letter?
Paul.
Yeah, you tell me Paul, but I want you to back it up with scripture. How would I know you're telling the truth?
guess because I looked in my Bible and I saw that it says.
Say it louder.
It's written on the Bible.
It's written in the Bible. So, everybody there? Melissa? Usually somewhere in the text, it will identify who the author is. Tells you and I? Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Okay, so the author is Paul. Being influenced by who? The Holy Spirit. Okay? So book title is Corinthians, which stands for current, for the church in Corinth, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Now, what's the next thing we're asking for, Miss Vicky?
Introductory.
Introductory matters. What's that? So, on the introductory matters, you're going to write the author's name, Paul. So, that kind of gives you an idea. Paul wrote this letter, and he wrote it to the people in Corinth.
That author, is that under introductory matters?
Well, I just, yes.
Okay. So, that's the heading, and then this is
on. Got it? And so, how do we know he's writing to the church in Corinth? Well, let's read a little bit. To the church of God, which is at what?
Corinth.
Say that, verse 2. So now you got an idea, okay, Paul is writing this letter to Corinth. We're not going to worry about a date at the moment, okay? So as we're going down, we're looking and seeing. We're going to be looking for what? What's the next thing we're going to be looking for?
Occasion.
What's another word for occasion?
The reason for the letter.
The reason for the letter. We call it purpose.
Purpose.
Okay? Yeah, all of the above, Miss Vicky. You're a good scholar tonight. Thank you. So, let's see if we can find it. To the church of God, which is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. So, that tells us he's definitely talking to the saints, right? Sanctified means that they're saved folks. This is not a letter to unsaved people. This is a letter to saved people, right? So he's addressing an issue concerning saved people. But what is that issue? What is that issue?
To save them.
No.
We don't know yet.
We don't know yet. So, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Now, I may have forgot to put that section on there called salutation. Is it listed?
Yeah.
Verse 3 is your salutation. Verse 1 is your author. Verse 2 is your audience, your target audience. The letter is going to Corinth. It's addressed to the Christians in Corinth. Is this making any sense to anybody?
Mm-hmm.
So now what you just established in this short period of time, you know more about this letter than what you thought you did already in that short period of time. You just needed somebody to point it out to you. Right? Moving right along. So salutation, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Kairos and Irene. Those are the two names in Greek. Grace, Kairos, peace, Irene. Those are the Greek names. Kairos is grace. Irene is peace. So it says, from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Now notice now, Paul opened his letters encouraging the people, not tearing them down. Do you see that? And he also, if you ever want to put a note on your paper, that's why I kind of let you down here, these little spaces at the very bottom. If you want to put a note there, here's the note. Who is Paul? Who appointed Paul?
God.
He says it in verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. Called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. God appointed him. On the behalf of his son Jesus, God the Father appointed Paul to be an apostle. So that establishes his credibility. Now you're building even more understanding in this book. So this not just anybody going on their own. This man was sent by God on the behalf of his son
Jesus.
So this letter is carrying some weight from heaven. Is it not, Melissa? Okay, just helping you all understand how to study the scriptures. So that means there's something must be going on in Corinth that God had Paul write this letter. Okay? Now, he's thanking God for them in verse 4. Verse 5, he says that you were enriched in everything by him. In utterance or speech and all knowledge. Okay? So he's telling some pretty good stuff. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. He's basically telling, he said, look, we know you belong to Jesus. Right? Verse 7, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? He's really doing the work for them. He's exhorting them. Okay? You're not going to fall short of the things that you need to serve Jesus for the glory of God. Okay? Until the day that Jesus will show himself, when God shows Jesus to the church. Okay? So this thing is here to stay. All right, verse 8. Who will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ever wonder if you're going to make it in? Paul just told the church at Corinth. He said, look, Jesus is going to make sure you make it in. Jesus himself going to make sure that you are blameless. What's another word for blameless? Holy. Christ has set you aside. That's why it said called to be sanctified up there in verse 2. Those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Blameless. See the connection? Blameless. So he's really, really telling them some good stuff here. All right, I'm going to sit down and stop walking so much. Shelly, scroll up a little bit for me. Hit the bottom arrow right over there. Scroll it up slowly. Put 8 to the top. Thank you very much. Okay. So God is faithful. Never forget that, Corinthian church. God is faithful. By whom you were called into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, verse 10, the occasion. Are you ready?
Right.
Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Miss Vicky, what does that mean? What is Paul doing here at this moment? What is he doing?
Please listen to me. God has something to say to you.
Absolutely. Please listen to me because God has something to say to you. Okay? That means you need to be giving God your undivided attention in this letter. Okay? He's getting ready to get to the cause. Okay? Now, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. In other words, there must be something going on in the church, Melissa. There must be something going on. He said, why would he tell them to speak the same thing? It wasn't an issue of everybody wanting to do their own thing. If it wasn't a spirit of confusion that had arisen in the Corinthian church, Paul is saying now, y'all need to stop this. You need to get on the same sheet of music and speak Jesus Christ. Okay? You need to stop this. Does that apply to us today?
Mm-hmm.
You betcha. Okay? So, and that there be no divisions among you. Wow. Okay? What does divisions mean?
Arguing.
Sir?
When you argue or disagree.
You're arguing and you're disagreeing all the time. What else? If he's saying divisions, what's another way mathematically to look at divisions? What are we calling it?
There's cliques.
There are cliques. You have separated yourselves into your little subgroups. And one group think is better than the other one.
Same mind.
Okay. Or factions. A sect. Sets. S-E-C-T-S. Okay. And you got all this going on. Is that happening today?
Yep.
So you mean to tell me the Holy Ghost seeing this coming?
Yes. Yes.
So the problem here is that's a bunch of junk going on in the church, is it not? Already he identified two major issues. People with different doctrinal views. The first problem. Second problem is you have divided yourselves up and you're not in unity. You're not moving as one unit together in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. You're all going in different directions, but you're in the same body.
Right.
God, what's up with that? Hello, Christians around the world. Okay.
We're not on the same accord.
We're not on the same accord as they were on the day of Pentecost, where it says in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, that day on the day of Pentecost, they was on one or what? One accord, other one moving in the same direction together. Okay? So, the occasion is there were different speech or doctrines going on. They were divided. But he come around and he said, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Okay, the ability to discern the same thing, to learn the same thing, to make the same corrections, okay? To have the same discipline of heart. Move together, like the military does when they take all these recruits from around the country and send them to this place called basic training. They come from all walks of life, right? But when they graduate 8 weeks later, they're what? Marching together, dressed in the same uniform, talking the same talk, all physically fit, moving in the same direction. On the day of graduation, y'all go, look at my baby. We go, which one? They all look alike. Huh?
They all march to the same tune.
They're marching to the same tune. Yes. And so that's what Paul is saying about the church. We need to be marching to the same tune, dressed in the same uniform, clothed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that not putting on the armor of God? That's the same outfit that every one of us supposed to be wearing?
Amen. Yes.
And so he's telling them, look, you got some stuff to work on. Okay? So the letter is a very specific, detailed letter. Very lengthy, too. And now, guess what? For it has been declared to me concerning you. In other words, somebody wrote Paul or even visited Paul and says, there's a problem in the Corinthian church. There's a problem in the church at Current that needs your attention, Paul. Like sometime y'all come and say, Pastor, you need to come in here. You need to handle this. And I come and say, what's the problem? Sometime I have to tell people, you need to leave. Another time, I said, say, hey, look, we need to talk.
A church bouncer.
Okay, a church bouncer. But whatever the case may be, Paul is the under-shepherd of the church. Jesus Christ and God the Father sent him out not only to establish, but to nurture this church to spiritual health. Okay? And we're blessed to have these writings. So that we can learn from the church. As we go through this letter, boy, you're going to go, boy, they'll share with some dumb folks. No, we're the dummies. Okay? We're the dummies. Let's move on. So, for it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of close household, that there are contentions among you. Who is close? A female Christian. And men say women need to keep their mouths shut. Well, if she had, we wouldn't have 1 Corinthians. And we wouldn't even know half the things about the Holy Spirit that we know today had that woman kept her mouth shut. So folks in her household said, we got to go tell Paul what's going on. And it possibly could have been a house church.
No, she went to the right place.
You betcha.
She didn't go to her neighbor. She went to Paul.
They didn't go gossiping.
Right.
They went and found the one they knew who had the answers from the Holy Ghost. Okay? And so the man of God is doing what the Holy Spirit wants him to do. Now I say this, that each of you say, I am a Paul. Or I am of Apollos, or I am of Caiaphas, by the way, that's Peter, or I am of Christ. What did he just describe there?
The four dissensions, or the four divisions? Or?
Yeah, the cliques, the factions, the whatever you want to call them, denominations. Did I say that?
I was thinking that.
Maybe.
Yeah. Because denominations didn't exist. But people wanted to get them started by having their own little thing going on.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. And guess what? He's saying, so you're saying that you of the denomination called Paul. That's what one group saying, we're Paul. Another group saying, nope, we're Apollos. And I said, no. I'm not part of that group. I'm the group that followed Caiaphas, Peter.
Apollos the God?
I'll tell you a little bit more about him in a little bit. Then others say, nope, we're of Christ. Well, that's the right group to be with. Now, listen what Paul says, Melissa. Is Christ divided? Paul, where are you? We need you today. Oh, my Lord. How many denominations of there are there in Christianity? Oh, my Lord and my God, there are so many. And I had a book up here that lists at least about 10 or 15 years ago, a bunch of them. And since then, can you imagine the offshoots that have been birthed since then? And it's probably up here somewhere. I'm just overlooking it right now. But anyway, but he got them. Is Christ divided? No, he's not.
No.
Mm-mm. Okay, look at it. Verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you?
No.
Uh-oh. I think he's telling it like it is, ain't he, Melissa? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Southern Baptist, was you baptized in the name of Southern Baptist?
No.
Was Southern Baptist crucified for you? And you can throw any name up there. Right, Winter? So you see, he's addressing a big problem here.
Yeah.
And you know what? That part occasion, I probably should have given you another sheet. Because you're going to be identifying other issues as we go through here.
What's going to be done here? What problems identified by the author?
Okay. So the purpose is that he's calling them out on it to correct their behavior. Right? And the problems, you're listening, you're here, we're going through them right now. Okay? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I have been baptized in my own name. Wow. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. This man said, listen, even though I may have baptized some folks, that was not my focus. My job is Christ. Okay? That's what he wanted people to see, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the concern here. And Shelly, bring it on up. Put 17 to the top. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. If we stop getting hung up on the mundane things of life, in the church, but get hung up on Jesus, the things of Jesus, then everything will go smooth in the church.
Amen.
And that's what he's telling you and I, not with wisdoms of words. I'm certainly not one to speak with wisdom. You don't hear me trying to persuade you all with fancy words. I don't even know the fancy words. I'm just a simple guy. Led by the Spirit of Christ, okay? And as he give it to me, I give it to you. And then when I put my two cents in it, I mess up and I have to come back and tell y'all, hey, I messed up. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit don't let me keep you there. It doesn't allow me to stay there in a messed up state. So, Shelley, this one is so powerful. So for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Look, Mr. and Mrs. Corinthian, you don't need a professional orator. What you need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what you need. That's what you need. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And nothing less. So evidently, they had some guys that can really had the what they call it, the gab of the mouth. How did they say it? Is that it?
Yeah.
That can really speak fancy, big brother. Is that today?
Eloquent speakers.
Yeah. Is that today?
Yes.
And they got some boys can really tickle your britches, don't they?
Yes.
And some girls too. I can name a few, but I won't. That's not permissible here. And so, Paul is saying, uh-uh. If I'm not doing it, you don't do it. Because he's putting himself out on a limb here. He's telling his church, basically, look at me and model yourselves after me. Okay? All right. Now here's where he's going to get it home. Because you got to understand, where was the Corinthian church? The Corinthian church is all part of that old Grecian empire. Greeks. And what dominated the Greek empire? Philosophy. You got it? Philosophy. What is philosophy?
A lot of talking.
It's a compound Greek word. Okay, you ready for it? Philo, love. Sophia, wisdom. Lover of wisdom. Otherwise, they think they're intellectual and gotta hear something wonderful all the time. And you read about those folks over in Acts chapter 17, when Paul was at a place called Mars Hills, there in Athens, Greece. And he really had a showdown with them. And so this Greek philosophy had crept up in the church. And I don't understand why I need a PhD to do God's work. I don't need a PhD. I need Jesus. Okay? And I need an HS. Holy Spirit. Okay? And I need a big G. God. Okay? With that, that's everything. You can't add to anything else. Oh, excuse me, Lord, forgive me. And I need the big W.
Wisdom.
The word.
Word.
Okay?
The word of God.
The word of God.
S-G-W.
Woo! She made up an acronym. Where the ghost is, put it on a shirt and sell it for $10.
S-G-W.
Okay. So he comes back and he said, in verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Who is it foolishness to? He's going to tell us here. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. In other words, the intellectuals. He said, I'm going to make them look like they're nothing. Okay? And he does. God got a great man named by the name of Rabbi Zechariah, known as a Christian apologetist. In fact, I was watching him, I think, yesterday or Sunday. Born in India, tried to commit suicide at the age of 7 and got 17, and Jesus saved him. And Rabbi Zechariah goes to different college campuses and these big institutions, academic institutions, and these big whizzes, and he calls them out. And let me tell you, the Holy Ghost is so deep in that man. I have to have a long dictionary and thesaurus and all just to follow him myself. And I'm going, I had the privilege of listening to him in person and had to evaluate his speech.
Wow.
When I was in my advanced preaching class in my doctoral studies, we had to go and evaluate all the pastors at the Jacksonville Pastors Conference put on by the Southern Baptist Convention. And Robert Zachariah was one of the speakers. And I just did this winter, threw my pen down, going, who can evaluate this man but God? I give up. I think I got my notes in a book down here somewhere. I give up. And then there was others. Powerful men of God speaking. And then some are going, where you get this clown from? That's what I'm thinking, right? But we don't need wisdom of men. Okay? We need the power of God in Christ Jesus. Power of the Holy Ghost. That's what we need. Okay? Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? What's a scribe?
One who
translates things. The one who wrote down a lot of the scriptures here. The scribes did that. Especially the Old Testament. Even in some of Paul's letters, he used a scribe, a person to scribe, okay, wrote things down. And these people are at the top of the field. They don't make mistakes. Are you hearing me? In today's market, you will probably be paying $1,000 an hour for their service. Because they don't make mistakes, Winter. Let me tell you how bad they are critically examining them, their own work. You ever heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Yes.
The Dead Sea Scrolls were the mistakes of the scribes. And we call it the gospel. But because somewhere along the line they made a wrong cross on a letter.
So they took this
wrong. Just one little dot. And they set that aside. Because the gospel of God must be ladder perfect. They're the kind of folks you want working for you. Not. Yes. Because look at Peter. Old rugged fisherman. Paul was probably, him and Luke, was probably the two most educated folks in the New Testament. Probably. Look at their writings. Peter even said Paul's writing was hard to understand. All right, moving right along. So where are these fancy folks at? Where is the disputer of this age? Where is Satan? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Yes. That's why you got these institutions popping up all over the world. And that's why they're turning people's heads back to hell rather than turning them to God. These institutions are called universities and colleges. They're the ones that are turning your sons and daughters away from God. They're the ones that are telling you there is no God. Okay? The wisdom of men. And I was so surprised when I hear Christians saying they want to major in philosophy. And I'm going, you what? Yeah, I want to major in philosophy. Really? Okay, you better be careful with that.
To what end?
Because next thing you're thinking is Aristotle and Socrates, you're thinking they're greater than Jesus. And Plato. Better watch it. Okay? Even though Plato was a great mathematician also. But Jesus.
Who made him that way?
Made it. Oh, well, God gave him the intellectual ability, right?
Exactly.
And so.
That's right.
But man don't want to give God the credit. They don't want to give God the glory, Melissa. They want to glorify self, Miss Marie. They constantly want to glorify self. And so I'm going to speed this train up. So you see, Paul is telling us that there are multiple themes in this book. The first theme is telling us he's correcting false teachings. Another one, he's correcting schisms or divisions or cliques, factions, okay? Whatever name you want to put to that. And he's correcting what else? The wisdom of men. So you see how you can pick up the themes in it? So you read the opening chapter to determine what's being said. We're in chapter 1. Look at the before context, the immediate context, and after context. Do they match what you're looking for? Is there repeated words, or are there repeated words that can be considered keywords? Let's look at the text. Are there keywords so far? Don't you see wisdom keep popping up? What about division? Does that word keep popping up? Okay. So when you see key words, well, yeah. Yes, foolish. So in verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. Otherwise, man, through his intellectual ability, through his reasoning, human reasoning and logic, he says to himself, there is no God. As Psalms 14 says, for the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So the real definition of foolish, fool, is a man who has said that there is no God. Okay? David gave us that definition in Psalms 14, verse 1. A fool has said in his heart, he's convinced himself that God doesn't exist. The great guy, Lee Strobel, that great fancy reporter who was an atheist, decided he wanted to go on a search to prove that there is no God. And Lee Strobel, in his quest to prove that God does not exist, found out that God does exist and surrendered his life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And ever since then, he's been defending Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Proving. He's very analytical. He's very empirical. And he tells science, you can follow your empirical steps. And if you follow them correctly, they'll all take you back to God. Okay? And so, this is wonderful. This is glorious. So for since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness. You see, that's what we call a key word, Shelley. So foolishness would be a key word. And then, so that means you need to define foolishness. If you was teaching a Bible class to students, if you was preaching a sermon, you would need to define foolishness. So as you're studying the text, one of the words that you would want to define is foolishness. Okay? If Melissa was teaching her two daughters and she kept coming across the word foolish, she needs to sit down with her daughter and say, according to the Bible, this is foolishness. And Webster Dictionary describes or defines foolishness this way. Okay? So, I would show you up in the Greek real quick. Matter of fact, let me come over to Shelley. I can't tell you how to do it. It would be a little bit too complicated. I need to just go on and do it. Real quick, just stand by me.
I will.
You hurting? Or your leg went to sleep? Okay. What we want to do in verse 25 is, everybody look up here. Look on the screen. It's, we're going to switch now over to the Greek. That would be G and T, Charlie. And we're going to look at verse 25. And you see this word right here? Moron. How many times have you called a person a moron? Huh? How many times have you done that? Okay? Melissa, how many times have you heard the word moron?
Probably more than I've
blasphemed. Winter, how many times have you heard the word moron? So moron means what? Foolish. A stupid always. Okay? Stupid always, a term of reproach. A person considered to be intellectually weak, irrational, or lacking in foresight. Opposite in sophos, or sophias, which is
wise
or wisdom. Okay, that's why I say let's go ahead and look at in substantively, foolish person, a one without respect for God. That's the one we want to concentrate on. Okay. Another way to say it. An insult, it could mean you fool, or how many times have we called a person you blockhead? Blockhead is another term for fool. And Lord Jesus said, don't you dare call a man a fool. Because anyone called a man a fool had now just put himself in danger of hellfire. Because what you just said to that person, you can never be saved. So, the Greeks believed in Moron. Okay? They were foolish people. But yet they thought they were very, very wise. Sophia, a Sophos. Okay? No, they were not. Their behavior was foolish. God showed them just how smart they really thought they were. All right? Shall I minimize that? Let's go back to text. I'm going to go ahead and close it out here. It's 7:15. Right. Go up on the GNT. Right there. Down, 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 down. Don't hit that button. Don't hit that one. I just say don't hit it. She hits it.
Oh, I don't know what's happening.
Okay. If you would take that and click on it and hold it. She don't ever listen. I'm going to have to fire her.
Hey, am I there?
She's free.
Okay. Anyway. Let's take a look here and see what the Lord is doing even more. In verse 25, we say, because the foolishness. I want to back up here. I kind of skipped a little bit. Verse 22. For the Jews request a sign, in other words, prove it. You hear that, Melissa? Prove it. Other words, they're looking for you to prove something for to them. And the Greek seeks after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block. In other words, they don't want to believe. And to who? And to the Greek foolishness, the Greek going like, you blockhead. There's no one true God. There's multiple gods. There's a God for this, a God for that, and God over there, and a God over here, God up there, God down there. Which one are you talking about? And we call the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. His name is Yahweh, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the God we're talking about. Monotheist, the only God. Okay, Mr. Greek, monotheist. Okay, monotheist or latheist, the only true God. I'm sorry I'm speaking Greek to you. But all right. Now, as we're looking, because the foolishness of God, you got to hear this. Let me back up. I skipped another one. Verse 24. But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile, okay? You Greeks listen. You Jews listen. When you accept Jesus, it doesn't matter. All you know that Jesus Christ is both the power of God, that's what the Jews were looking for, and he's also the wisdom of God. That's what the Greek was looking for. Jesus is both in one. That's what he just explained to them. So you get some good notes here today. And he goes on, boy, he's really addressing. So wisdom was another thing. Foolishness and wisdom was a key thing he's addressing right now. But he won't let up here. In the next chapter, he's going to compound this. Okay? In chapter 2, he really is going to compound it. And verse 25, because the foolishness of God, and this is the part as a young Christian went to always blew me away. This verse right here, verse 125. Okay, chapter 1, verse 25. Always blew me away. And it says, I get out your way, just so you can see it. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Other words, and I hate to say it, God on his worst day is greater than man's best day.
Right, but God doesn't have a
worst day. But Paul was just really being cynical there, don't you think?
Right, yeah.
So the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. as if God have a weakness.
Right.
So he was really calling them out. He was being funny there, wasn't he? Yeah, he was mocking them. You see that, Melissa? He was mocking them.
He was trying to explain it to someone that doesn't believe.
Yeah. And that's a good way to look at it. Even though he was talking to believers here. Talking to believers. All right. Y'all ready to quit because y'all ready to go home. Y'all tired. I see your faces getting long. And now I can go all night long. So for you see, your calling, brother, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not noble, not many nobles are called. In other words, God did not call Stephen Hawkins, one of the most brilliant minds in the 21st century. Y'all know who Stephen Hawkins is? That great physicist? The one that's in the wheelchair?
Mm-hmm.
Google him.
Supposed to be the smartest man in the world or something?
Yeah, Stephen Hawkins.
He's in a wheelchair. He can't talk, can he?
Not now. He used to be able to. Yep. Went to both Cambridge and... he went to Cambridge and what's the other school in England? Lord, how did it get me? Escape me like that.
Is that the one that came down with something that made him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like MS.
Yeah.
He went to Cambridge and what's the other school in England? The fancy one. Help me out. It'll come to me in a second, Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. But anyway, our school, Yale and Harvard, was brought up to kind of match these two schools, Cambridge and.
Sorry.
I can't believe, Melissa, this is escaping my mind. How dumb can I be when I was offered a fellowship there? Okay. Oxford.
Oxford.
Yes. Cambridge and Oxford. He went to both of them. And so I had a fellowship offer at Oxford University. So, yeah, the old little dumb country boy from Archer. Anyway, as we close out this one, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. You ever wonder why God can take a shepherd boy and make him king of a nation? A shepherd, very simple, right? And yet, mighty because of God.
Psalms 23.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
A little boy from Archer that flunked out of school almost. Now has a doctorate degree on the wall. Take the simple to confound the wise. That's what he did. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Children, very powerful before the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would not God tell the king of Israel or tell the people, unless you come to me like the king of Israel, you cannot enter in the kingdom of God? Did God say that to Jesus? No. He said, unless you come to me like a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Okay. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And I keep raising my hand and jumping. That's me. That's me. Okay? Because when I was in school, I was not famous. I was not popular. Nobody hung with me. I was a dummy. I finished at the bottom of my class. Girls wouldn't even talk to me, Melissa. And now I hear people say, bro, we hear what God has done in your life. I say, that's right, you heard what God has done in my life. I want to make sure you know that.
Good thing you left me alone.
To make sure. And then God, he had done the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. You want to brag about something? You want to be proud about something? Be proud about God and Lord Jesus. Okay? That's what we're to be proud about. That's what we're to glory about. And so, folks, you can go on and you can answer these questions. This is your basic Bible study format. When you're going through, who's the audience? The church in Corinth. Background information, who's the author, what is he saying? Paul. We just went through in chapter 1, he's telling us a bunch of stuff. What is the cross references? Read the other chapters. You'll see cross references. And we'll look through that. Cross references, where is it listed in the Bible and other places that he's talking about the same subject? Okay? Read the book of Acts. Paul, you'll see him talking about some of the things that he did in Corinth. Okay? What problems is identified, or what problems are identified, shall I say it, by the author? Well, there are multiple problems. We've already seen that. Right? What is the author's solution to the problems? So that's what we got to be looking for. That's the huge one. That's the one that's often missed by brothers and sisters in Christ. What is the solution?
Jesus.
Jesus.
He who glories, glory
in the Lord. You think you want to be somebody? Get on in with Jesus. Okay?
And if I don't do it, you don't do it.
That's right.
Paul
said, if I don't do it, you don't do it. Make sense, Winter? Good. That's why you're going to pull my neck off in a minute.
Nah.
Yeah. Okay, any questions? All right, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Didn't mean to keep you so long, but we started a few minutes late. But do you got an idea now how to study the scripture? Say no, because we're going to go over it even more next week. Okay? This time we're going to be looking at context. What does it mean to look at context? Before, immediate, and after. What does it mean to look at those scriptures like that? Okay? All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your living word, Lord Jesus. You are the living word of God. And we surely appreciate the Holy Spirit teaching us tonight as we look at Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. And Lord, even while we're learning how to study your word, help us, Father, to even grow from it. And help others to grow as well and to come to Jesus so that we will all glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.